about those nationals?
Yeah,
right? How many of you stayed up to finish watching the game against the Dodgers last Wednesday night? We have a few. How about those of you who fell asleep or went to bed? Yes. Were you surprised to learn that the Nats had actually won the game when you got up on Thursday morning? That was a nice surprise. Bases loaded. The pitcher throws, the batter swings, and crack! The ball flies. Grand slam. Surprise! It's a whole new ball game. That is one of the joys of baseball. One swing of the bat, and surprise. The game goes in a direction that you weren't expecting. This morning, we heard two stories that had surprising outcomes for whom these stories were originally told and written. The first of the two stories is our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is credited with saving the Jewish people. Indeed, he is held up as the savior of the Jewish faith. Jeremiah gave his people the words, the lament, by which they could come to terms with the utter destruction of their nation and their homeland. Babylonia was conquered Judah, in 605 BCE. As a part of the terms for peace, Judah agreed to pay tribute to Babylonia. After several years of this agreement, the king of Judah refused to pay the agreed upon tribute to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, while at the same time trying to negotiate a better deal with Egypt. Warlords are very rarely known for their patience. So King Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies to invade Judah. The book of Jeremiah tells of three invasions by the Babylonian military. The first in 597 BCE, followed by others in 587 and 582. As was the custom, the military carried off what leaders they had not already killed, and took all the skilled laborers to be slaves. Jeremiah was not taken in the first invasion. He was left behind in the ruined city of Jerusalem. This morning's lesson from Jeremiah is a portion of a letter written by Jeremiah to the captives exiled in Babylon. Like any people taken into captivity, the Jews attempted to organize and plot against the Babylonians. Jeremiah offers some surprising instructions from God. The exiles in Babylon are to cease resisting their captors. They are to make themselves at home and to raise families in a foreign land. Not only that, God asked them to do the unthinkable. The exiles were to pray for their enemies. Just this month, we have been witness to people of faith engaging in surprising acts of compassion and empathy. Brant Jean not only forgave his brother Botham's murderer, but also asked the judge if he could give Amber Geiger a hug at her sentencing. Last week, Muslims stood vigil while members of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh celebrated Yom Kippur for the first time since the mass shooting at their synagogue. The Muslims were honoring the solidarity forged when Pittsburgh Jews raised over $700,000 to send to two Christchurch, New Zealand mosques that had also been victims of mass shootings. Will wonders never cease? My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, nor are your ways my ways. Grand slam. It's a whole new ball game. The second story this morning is our gospel lesson. It is known as the story of the leper who returned. In this story, the leper is held up as a model of faith. As you may recall, in last week's gospel lesson, the disciples cried, "Increase our faith." Upon considering the burden of being a role model for people new to faith, here, Jesus offers them a role model who has done nothing more than return in gratitude to offer praise and thanksgiving to God. Not only can being a model of faith be just that simple, but surprise, anyone can be a model of faith. We are told of the leper who returned, and he was a Samaritan. In a culture rife with prejudices and discrimination, a Samaritan was the lowest of the low. Those listening to Jesus tell this story would have been surprised and shocked, for long-held biases had taught them that a Samaritan would have been the least likely to become a model of faith. As is often the case in Jesus' parables, there is more to this story. This is more than a story of a leper who became a model of faith by offering praise and gratitude for his healing. Jesus tells the leper, "Your faith has made you well." This translation doesn't carry the full impact of Jesus' statement. Jesus' words are more along the lines of, "Your faith has saved you." All 10 lepers were healed of leprosy, but the Samaritan leper experiences something more than liberation from his leprosy. The leper's whoops and hollers of praise to God and his gratitude to Jesus in a posture of obeisance are the essence of faith. He knows joy. He is able to see beyond his restored whole body to the one who has made his body whole. His actions of delight and gratitude, which distinguish him from the other lepers, demonstrate his faith and trust in Jesus, God's agent of healing. His gratitude is the outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace that he has received. Every time we gather, we pray, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come." That prayer requires faith, a willingness to trust God and to be open to God's power working through us. The exiles in Babylon could have given in to their hatred for their captors and continued to plot rebellion. The Babylonians would have crushed them just as they had their homeland, and the Jewish people would have become extinct. Instead, they trusted God's surprising advice and thrived. 60 years later, the Jews went home to Judah when Persia conquered Babylon and King Cyrus released the Jews. Their faith in God and their trust in God's surprising plan saved them. Brant John could have succumbed to sadness and bitterness. Jews in Pittsburgh and Muslims in Christ Church could have turned inward and become fearful and insular. Instead, surprise, they were all saved by their faith.